Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the revolution in Virginia, that which has taken place with their attempt to confiscate weapons and to make common ordinary citizens felons in the state of Virginia. In fact, one article says they've awoken a giant. And it goes on to talk about the number of cities that have become sanctuary cities. This particular article at the time it was done said about 20 of these counties in Virginia. Out of the 133 counties today, ladies and gentlemen, over 100 have become sanctuary counties. This article says Virginia gun owners have gathered by the hundreds at boards of supervisor meetings in counties across the state and send a message to the newly elected Democratic legislature in Richmond. Amendment sanctuary exists in many states across the country, but no state has seen so many as such in such a short span of time. It's sending a message to Virginia saying, we don't want any more gun control out here, according to the one that is the head of that movement in the state of Virginia. The article further says, on a larger scale, gun owners, when they show up, present a massive voting block in the state elections. It says they pointed out in the state of 8 million people, they have over 2 million gun owners, and 600,000 of those gun owners hold concealed carry permits. That's a pretty ominous sound, ladies and gentlemen, when you talk about gun confiscation and gun control in a state. Greg, what do we need to understand is taking place, and where will it go, and what will be the domino effect if this continues?
Well, a component of this, and I'm thankful that so many cities, counties, and municipalities are standing up. Their leadership is standing up and saying, no. We're going to stand by our oath of office. We will support, protect, and defend the Constitution. We also have what will be the largest Second Amendment rally in United States history will take place on January 20th there in Virginia. You have folks, I guarantee you, from across the United States, potentially around the world, that will stand up. Folks that have come from other countries where gun control has taken over and done great harm, I guarantee you will take the stage and explain why that Second Amendment must be preserved. And you mentioned earlier in Esther, you were referencing Purim. I'd like for folks right now to look up Purim, P-U-R-I-M, and look up the story of Esther and the preservation of the Hebrew people at that time. That's very apropos in this moment. But look also at Nehemiah. We realize Nehemiah, as he was rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem with those men, as the wall was going up, Sanballat and Tobiah absolutely had disdain for Nehemiah. They tried to set him up. What did they do? They tried to make him a criminal before the king. They said to Nehemiah, to the king, that Nehemiah was seeking to create his own kingdom and become a king. They tried to make – that's exactly what these laws will do. They will take good people and make them out to be criminals. What was the response? Well, the workers, because the vicious leftists of the day were coming against the cause, the righteous cause, what did they do? They worked. With a trowel in one hand, working as stonemasons, and a sword in the other hand. We need to realize that it is a good thing to be able to defend oneself and one's family. And tyranny is an evil thing. Tyranny always follows gun confiscation. Gun confiscation always follows gun registration. They want to know where they're at. And this notion that universal background checks will fix something, I got news for you folks. With the background checks that are in place today, a year passed in 2011, 2012, it was an extreme measure, an extreme case. Over 80,000 people across the United States failed their background checks. Many of them were felons attempting to try to get a gun. They state by state, committed felonies, many of them trying to get a gun when they could not lawfully do it.
Yes.
Out of those 80,000, there were only 44 arrests and convictions. These additional laws are not at all about getting the bad guys. They're not all about getting the felons. They're about getting you. You liberty-loving conservative, you smelly Walmart people, as some people call it, you deplorables, as some people call it. Come on, people. Don't believe the lie. One more law will not save us.
You're exactly right in what you're exactly right in your indication there. It is coming after the patriot citizen. And as I put it, the conservative, the constitutionalist, the Christian is the one that will be in the bullseye, the target, if we continue to see this move. Greg, I believe we've got someone on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Greetings, Dr. Youngblood and son Greg. The topic you're dealing with is so important today. When tyranny is about to take over people, disarming them has been the trend. And this has been all, just as you have been saying, this has been the case wherever it reared its head. They went after disarming the citizens. And if you must disarm them if you're going to control them. Well, we are dealing with people who have no respect for language and who manipulate words as they like, and their main strategy is deception, lies and deception. One of the things that I have been thinking about, that because the only thing that allow them to be able to jump on the Second Amendment gun right is the mass shooting, and I have a very suspicious feeling that the mass shooting has been manipulated and put into effect going, because it's a new trend. Right here and wherever. The mass shooting, as soon as the mass shooting takes place, they jump on the Second Amendment. They not even allow the people to mourn before they jump on gun control. And this has been the case all over, wherever the attempt to take control has been. And so we this is the kind of thing we're dealing with. I just have a feeling that they manipulate the mass shooting because it serves a purpose. That's the only reason they can come up with for interfering with the gun right. As soon as there is a mass shooting, they don't even deal with the turn on the guns. The guns are responsible. So we have a lot. We have to pray. Well,
yes.
God, in spite of where things reach and looking, but praise God, He's on the throne, and He's not trembling or wondering what next. He's
Amen.
Looking at the whole picture, and we
you're
are on
exactly,
His side. Thank you very much.
You're exactly right. Thank you for that comment, and you're exactly right. Anytime there is a mass shooting, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, they've determined, who they are, I cannot tell you, they've determined that a mass shooting is anything that's four or more would be considered a mass shooting. And each time that takes place, whatever the scenario or the cause or wherever it may be, then they use that, as our last caller just said, to jump on the gun control and say that they're going to control it. In fact, Greg, you're familiar with what's called the red flag laws. It's in 17 states now. I'm looking at an article that says Judge Neapolitano says gun confiscation under the red flag law is unconstitutional. And he goes on to say, Neapolitano weighs in on the dangers of the Second Amendment rights by the political parties in wake of mass shootings, which confiscate guns under the red flag law will mean that your constitutional rights are being trodden upon. When the Constitution was written, the idea of owning arms and keeping them in the home was widespread. The colonies had just defended the armies of King George III. The colonial weapon of choice was the Kentucky long rifle, which British soldiers and their armies issued versions of the Brown Besses, as they were called. The concept of red flag laws, which permits the confiscation of lawfully owned weapons from persons because of what the person might do, violates both the presumption of innocence and due process requirement of proof of criminal behavior before liberty can be infringed upon, end quote. Greg, you're familiar with many of the horror stories of the red flag laws being instituted and implemented causing good citizens to become felons. Speak to that issue for our listeners, because many of them think that the red flag laws are all right, In fact, in the state of Florida, House Bill 6003, I believe it is under consideration. They're basically foreclosing the opportunity for that bill to pass because the representative that introduced it, because in that law, if it is passed, it will literally gut the red flag law in the state of Florida. And I'm adamantly opposed to the red flag law because it absolutely not only confiscates the weapon that is in the Second Amendment right, but it also violates the Fourth and the 14th Amendment. Greg, speak to that question for our listeners to understand.
Well, it's interesting from a perspective of the loss of life, and it may turn out to be loss of life substantially on both sides, the law enforcement and the innocent civilian. November 2018, a Maryland man was killed while officers were going in under the red flag law to remove his firearms. Now, this has happened, and when I say this has happened, the red flag laws, like you say, are prolific. They're going state by state. And a lot of the idea behind it is we're going to remove guns from people that have psychological disorders, and they're going to go and harm or hurt themselves or others. That sounds good, but we're talking about people that are nuts. Now, right now, we've got a divided nation. The nation is just about 50-50 divided between folks that would identify as conservatives, folks that identify as liberals, folks that identify as Republicans versus folks that identify as Democrats. The reality is, when individuals have to look at folks of the other party affiliation, of the other distinctive, many times you go, that person's nuts. I mean, I've got them all over my Facebook page. The Never Trumpers step in there, and I go, you're nuts. The socialists step in there, I go, you're nuts. So first off, do you want me to determine if you're nuts? Because you got a problem then. And from their perspective, every single liberal, Bernie Sanders thinks that the Constitution is nuts, okay? So quite frankly, if Bernie Sanders and his ilk were given the authority, they'd make you all nuts. If you're a Christian today, I want you to know that every atheist thinks you're nuts. So it's a dangerous, dangerous path to go down where you start saying, well, we're going to have a pre-crime division, and we're going to have some government agent determine whether or not you're nuts or not, whether or not you have a right, if your civil liberties are to be to remain intact. And keep in mind, our government, though Donald Trump has been trying to drain the swamp, it's still dominated by leftists. I'll keep citing this. 99% of political contributions from Department of State employees went to Hillary Clinton. 97% of Department of Justice employee contributions went to Hillary Clinton. My goodness, the leadership there has some major problems. The leadership, Lois Lerner in the IRS, is the one that obviously put the stamp of approval. She took the Fifth Amendment, refused to testify before Congress, but they targeted over 300 Tea Party groups, said you folks won't get your credentials. And see what leadership does? What happens when that leadership says, you know what? If they've got on their Facebook page something about the Second Amendment, if they've got something on their Facebook page about Donald Trump, if they have something on their Facebook page about the Constitution, they're nuts. So you just go take their guns away and let them fight to get the guns back. How much money will be spent to regain your rights if your civil liberties are taken away? You've got to go and petition a court. That means you've got to go spend money to try to get a right that God gave you and the government's supposed to secure for you. Now the government's being used to strip that right away. This is perverse to the nth degree.
Absolutely. In the state of New Jersey, I believe it is, a man has already spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in 14 months trying to get his weapon back and the restoration of his liberties. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Virginia setting the stage to jail gun owners. The lobbying arm of the National Rifle Association is warning that Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is setting the stage to jail gun owners. The radical idea along has been used by the most dedicated Second Amendment supporters as a way to encourage support for the constitutional rights and protect the right to keep and bear arms. The article further says, as if Governor Ralph Northam's wholesale attack on the law-abiding gun owners wasn't enough, the disgraced public official and his Michael Bloomberg-bought allies in the General Assembly now want the state's hardworking taxpayers to foot the bill for the unconstitutional scheme. The bill, House Bill 30, includes the appropriation of $250,000 to carry out the host of gun measures that Northam and his anti-gun allies, allies hope to enact. They're setting aside. One bill was $250,000, another one $250,000. A total is being set aside now in the state of Virginia, Greg, of about $4.2 million for their what they're referring to as the war on guns. Here's the balance of this article. Northam, a Democrat, has announced plans for his war on guns after Democrats took the majority in the House and the state legislature. The so-called universal background checks not to drop criminals from obtaining firearms. Background checks doesn't stop criminals from stealing firearms, getting firearms on the black market, et cetera, et cetera. But Northam has set the stage now and is allocating in this budget round $4.2 million just to set up, and I'm going to call it a gun confiscation police force. And that's what he is doing. And he's calling it the funds to carry out the war on guns, his own words, not mine. And not only wanting to use the National Guard's now saying that they're not going to make a commitment whether or not they will be willing to do so. Greg speaks to the issue that our folks may not know about from the general listening audience called the Doctrine of the Posse Comitatus. Can a state, can a governor use the state's National Guard to come in with firearms against the citizens to confiscate guns?
It's going to be an interesting day. You already have Guard members that have said, no, we will support, protect, and defend the Constitution as we have sworn an oath. I would hate to see the chaos. I mean, I think some of these folks on the left, these Democrats, would like to see a wounded knee moment where civilians are slaughtered because perhaps they resist. And I have news for you. I believe it won't be a wounded knee moment. It'll be a shot heard round the world moment. I pray that the majority of those within the Guard obey their oath, their first oath to the Constitution. And, you know, the reality is we've got another thing that plays into this entire equation. Back in, I forget what year, 2016, 2017, Terry McAuliffe was the governor up there, and he restored the voting rights of 156,221 felons in the state of Virginia.
Right.
Now, most of those felons, former felons, will go out and vote Democrat. Matter of fact, they just won an election, didn't they?
That's right.
Now, you know what happens when you become a felon? Look at each one of these statutes that Virginia is proposing. Each one of them, if you violate it, you're a felon. So at the same time they've just restored the voting rights of all these felons, now they will make of you, you good, God-fearing, Constitution-believing, loving citizens, we're going to make felons out of you, and guess what happens? You lose your right to vote. A huge portion of what's taking place is a political power grab. Even if these individuals don't spend substantial time in jail, you plead guilty to the felony, you lose your voting rights, we'll let you go back home, but you're not going to be able to vote. Think of the power play that's taking place right now, politically. Our southern border is left wide open. They're fighting tooth and nail. They're fighting the fence going in place. Now, as those illegal aliens cross the border, you check me out. You see if I'm right. You look up Pew Research. Pew Research has interviewed and questioned over 1,000 illegal aliens, asking them their political inclinations. 31.5% identify as Democrats. You go, oh, that's less than half. Well, only 4% identify as Republicans. That gives an 8-to-1, nearly 8-to-1 advantage, Democrat to Republicans. Why do you think those Democrats want that border to stay wide open? Because
absolutely,
they love the flood of new Democrats. Right now, they are losing the black population in America. We have an awakening taking place. The Blexit, the black exit from the Democratic Party. By the way, the walk away movement. Folks, if your eyes are open, the Democrats are losing. They're losing what has been their number one constituency group. They fully expected black folks to go in there and keep punching the ticket for Democrats. Democrats have been destructive to the black family in America. Do your homework. Do your research. These folks put abortion clinics right in the middle of minority neighborhoods on purpose. These folks resist, the Democrats resist any push for fairness in education, what we call educational choice, where you can leave the failing public schools like in Detroit and Baltimore. Baltimore, where literally you've got all the high schools there, not a single child reading, writing, adding, and subtracting on grade level. It's chaos, and they want to lock people into that system. Well, eyes are coming open in America, and because eyes are coming open and they're about to lose this constituency group, they're pushing with everything they have in them to get illegals into this country and to turn them into Democrat voters. By some numbers, we're at 30 million today. 30 million today, illegal aliens. And these folks, city by city, county by county, state by state, they're getting driver's licenses. They're getting voter registrations. It is a proven fact. I'm not ad-libbing here for grins and giggles. It's a proven fact. They're voting. Maybe not all of them. Maybe not half of them, but they're voting. And as that pool expands, the Democrats see perpetual political victory in the illegal alien population. That's what this is about. This doesn't have anything to do with being good and honorable and decent and loving and kind. That is not what's taking place. It is a power grab, every single bit of it.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, if we ever see the it tilted to the point where our nation is in control of the socialist, Marxist, leftist, Democrats, we'll never recall, we'll never bring it back, we'll never change. The pendulum will never change and bring it back to any conservative level. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says sheriffs may go to jail to protect the Second Amendment rights in Virginia and in Kentucky, according to a representative, Thomas Massey, that made the statement. And I'm looking at another article. It says Virginia governor requests an 18-officer team to enforce the gun ban in his, quote, war on guns. And they're setting aside $4.8 million specifically for 18 officers and an officer team to enforce the proposed gun confiscation law, the gun ban, in the state of Virginia. Northam's request appears to be in response to the adoption of the Second Amendment Sanctuary Resolution by 91% of Virginia counties. The counties vow not to support any state law requiring the confiscation of weapons, arguing they violate the Second Amendment right. Northam declared there would be a war on guns after the Democrats took the majority in the legislature. The resolutions are being promoted by the Virginia Citizens Defense League and Gun Owners of America. I am concerned, Greg, and to our listeners today, and some might ask the question, why should a Christian be concerned about this? Why should we say anything about it? Why should Christians take a stand? Because our religious liberties and freedom of speech are hinged upon the opportunity and the rights that we have to defend ourselves with the Second Amendment right. And that Second Amendment right is not just to have the right to go out and do hunting and fishing and so forth with a weapon. And that right was not given by our founding fathers. It was given by God, not government. And it's for the specific purpose of the citizens being able to protect themselves against the tyranny of an oppressive government over us. Greg, speak to that issue and that question.
We have in the United States those that, I'll pull out one little small issue, but it's becoming bigger every day. Within the LGBTQIAP, and the acronym keeps growing, within the radicals of that movement, they have pushed to make things hate crimes. They have pushed to mute the believer. I believe it was in California pushed that a whether that person be a Christian or secular psychologist or psychiatrist, I believe the prohibition's in place. It may or may not have passed that. If you counsel against homosexuality, counsel against transgenderism, that would be a criminal offense. Of course, you're coming into whether it be the baker or the florist or whatever, one after another have been harassed by governments run by leftists because they refuse to participate in a homosexual service. You know, the florist, she was that person that came in and the lawsuit was spawned from it, that was a friend of hers, and she was more than willing to do, loved him, was more than willing to do anything she could for him, but she would not participate in his service. And when the shoe's on the other foot, what do they do? I mean, the shoe's on the other foot multiple ways. 13 bakers were called, bakers that were known to be owned by homosexuals, by a Christian that said he wanted a cake made for a celebration of traditional, a family traditional marriage. And all 13 bakers that were homosexual said no. You can listen to the tape, and many of those no's were in the most vile, evil fashions. So essentially, if we move forward down this path, let's say they shut down the Second Amendment. Well, the First and Second Amendment, or First Amendment deals with your free speech, religious liberty, freedom of the press, all those things. Who's going to be there to protect that? Who's there going to be there to protect your Fourth Amendment liberties on the search and seizure and everything else? These things, they all work together. The harmony is the Second Amendment preserving all others. If I could kind of rewrite it, maybe we put the Second Amendment first, but those writers, the reality is the first signatory to the First Amendment was Frederick Muhlenberg. He was a former minister that they burned his church down. They burned his church down. Folks, once you lose your ability to defend yourself and your family, then the government becomes tyrannical. For that tyrant, like black-faced, baby-killing Northam, that thinks that the civilian should not be trusted with a gun, I say he should not be trusted with power. You know, if you can't handle a citizenry with guns, if you can't handle, the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. What is a free state? Are we free people anymore? As citizens, are we citizens with freedoms and rights that the government protects for us? Are we serfs, slaves? Are we here as subjects to some new crown? That the leftists in America believe that we should be subjects and they should be our crown.
That's right.
Is as perverted as it could possibly be.
Greg, the two thoughts, we got about 2 minutes in the broadcast before our time is up for today. But here's an article that says Virginia gun store says firearms and ammunition and magazines are flying off the shelves with the upswing in cash purchases. And I'll not take time to read any excerpts from the article, but the whole thing is that they passed legislation in Virginia that would allow the government to trace your charge card purchases and determine whether or not you're buying a gun with a charge card. And so the sales now have and exponentially increased by over 200% where people are buying the weapons in Virginia and paying cash so that it cannot be traced. And here's another article that I think we'll close with. It says, Columbine survivor says, I wish there was a good guy with one gun like those that stopped the Texas church shooting the infamous day of the school massacre. Evan Todd was the first student to be wounded in the attack that left 13 dead, hands of two armed students. And he goes on to talk about, he says, I was staring down the barrel of a gun, and he said 13 students were murdered and 30 others were wounded. He said, I wish then and now that we had just one Jack Wilson that fateful day that would be the better place, and he would have been able to prevent the murders of others. And so, Greg, take about 15 seconds for our closeout. Challenge our listeners today as we go off the air for this broadcast.
Folks, you're getting a warning today. You're getting a warning from the watchman on the wall. The reality is that the scripture says we ought to be watchmen. You look at cases like Rwanda where the Hutus slaughtered the Tutsis. What they use? They use machetes. One more gun control law will not protect you and your family. It will do decimation. It will do harm to you and your family. Stand and protect the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment protects all the other amendments.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issue.
Off of I-295. Invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study. 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service. Or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.